Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Tony Bruno is with us as we are just in the early stages of a Wednesday cut sheet.
Let's get to some of the hearings that took place yesterday. Democrat Senator Chris Murphy sparred with Trump Secretary of Education Linda McMahon during a Senate budget hearing yesterday. Murphy accused McMahon of taking totally contradictory stances in the administration's ongoing battle against Harvard by both pushing to end all programs that promote diversity while demanding government-mandated viewpoint diversity. This is Cut 9. Phil, roll this.
I don't understand what the Department of Education is doing with respect to the threats you've made against institutions of higher education. In the letter that you sent to Harvard, demanding that they make certain changes, you told them that they had to end all of their diversity programs, but that they had to institute viewpoint diversity. That doesn't seem to make sense. How do you tell them to end all their diversity programs? And we assume that this is a mandate that you will make of other schools as well. How do you ask them to end diversity programs while instituting viewpoint diversity? Those seems to be totally contradictory.
No, the diversity programs that we've asked and demanded to be eliminated were the DEI, where they were those programs actually were pitting one group against another.
Isn't viewpoint diversity a diversity program?
A viewpoint diversity is exchange of ideas that's actually better, absolutely. Because Harvard only has 3% by its own numbers, 3% conservative faculty, do you think they are allowing enough of viewpoint diversity through that teaching?
Where in the statute does it give you the ability to cut off federal funding for a university based upon your decision, your determination that they don't have viewpoint diversity? Can you cite to a statute, an authority that Congress has given you to micromanage the viewpoint diversity of a college?
Well, certainly if... Well, now let's back up.
Well, no. I think that's really important. Can you cite a statute? Because you can't cut off funding for universities unless you have a statutory authorization to do so. So what statute gives you the right to tell any university that they have to have a certain mixture of viewpoints?
So here's what happened with Harvard.
I think you have to cite the statute.
The statute is Title VI. These were civil rights violations. That is why we filed a case and defunded or stopped the funding for Waffle Harvard as well as we did Columbia. And in that conversation with them, we talked about different things that they should do coming back to the table to make their programming better. The president of Columbia absolutely indicated, as well as the president of Harvard, that they needed to do things on their campus to eliminate anti-Semitism. That was kind of the crux of what brought us into talking to the different universities. And then we sat down with them to say, okay, these are other issues that you need to address on your campus because you do receive federal funding. Federal funding, if you are breaking the law, which they did under Title VI.
I don't understand any conception of civil rights law to give you the authorization to micromanage viewpoint diversity on campus. That's not authorized under the civil rights title provided to you by the United States Congress. Thank you very much.
Look, Linda McMahon has dealt with Triple H, The Rock, and Austin. I think she can handle Senator Chris Murphy. To me, this is diversity in thought, which is what the left does not want. They want everybody to look differently from an optics standpoint, an appearance standpoint, a lifestyle standpoint, a sexual preference standpoint, but they don't want you to think differently. So then what is the point of diversity then if we all look different but we all think the same? 97% to 3% on that campus. It's about getting back to merit-based decision-making for admissions, which, by the way, DEI practices are essentially illegal. And even if they had to come up with a statute, well, Republicans control everything right now, so somebody should draft legislation, we should vote on it, and then codify it and put it into law. But why is Harvard entitled to any funding? They have a $53 billion endowment.
Exactly. You know, Chris Murphy, you notice what the Democrats are doing now, these wimpy dupes like that strapper. You got Mayor Pete growing a beard. You got Farticus growing a beard. You got Chris Murphy up there in Connecticut growing a beard after dumping his wife. What is it with growing a beard now for all these Democrats?
I know.
You notice that?
Yeah.
Every single one of them now thinks facial hair is going to make them more of a man. You're not a man, Chris. You're a strapper and you're a loser. How about that?
Let's go to speaking of Farticus, him and Senator Ted Cruz. This is 13.
No, this was good.
Went after it. Went after each other yesterday. They sparred Tuesday over the uptick in threats made to federal court judges during President Donald Trump's second term. Their heated standoff comes as federal judges have issued a record number of injunctions against the flurry of executive actions by the president. The text exchange took place during a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee hearing titled "The Supposedly Least Dangerous Branch, District Judges versus Trump." Cruz, who is the subcommittee chair, used his remarks at the outset of the hearing to take aim at Democrats on the subcommittee, who he said were utterly silent about judicial threats under the Biden administration, including after threats were made against conservative Supreme Court justices. Cruz took aim at Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer for unleashing protesters who gathered outside the homes of Supreme Court Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh prior to their decision in Dobbs v. Jackson's Women Health Organization. Let's roll this.
And I will give my colleague from New Jersey a chance to just answer a simple yes-no question. Should the Biden Justice Department have enforced the criminal law against protesting at a justice's home? Yes or no?
So the rank hypocrisy of Chuck Schumer apologizing the next day and you holding that standard for him and not for your president, who you actually rightfully described when you were running against him in a primary. I would love to run those tapes of how you perfectly talked about the danger of our president and his rhetoric. But now you are failing, in fact, blind to the very things you're accusing Chuck Schumer of. I don't think Donald Trump would know an apology if it hit him in the head. Never has said apologizing. So, again, you are very, very, sir, very, very deep into the waters of hypocrisy in your criticisms of Chuck Schumer.
So let the record reflect that Spartacus did not answer the question and did not tell us whether the criminal law should be enforced, because he knows the answer is yes, and he knows that the Biden Department of Justice was being wildly political and partisan in refusing to enforce the law because they disagreed with the Supreme Court justice's rulings.
Spartacus. To me, the threats and the violence, all that stuff has to stop. And it don't matter what side. But, I mean, you can't have people showing up at justices' houses of the Supreme Court of the United States. We go back to the Kavanaugh thing from 8 years ago, 9 years ago, whatever it was. That does seem to be a double standard. And to my knowledge, as far as, quote, dangerous rhetoric, if you're to compare any rhetoric side by side, does anything eclipse calling the other political power or the face of a party Hitler? Is there anything worse from a rhetoric standpoint? Because the guy got shot because of crazy people thinking he is Hitler. So,
yeah.
By the way, where did the whole Spartacus thing come from? How did he earn that nickname?
He said it. He
Tears
said,
of rage.
Yeah, he said it when...
Poopadilla did?
In one of his hearings. No, Booker said it in one of his hearings. He said, this is my Spartacus moment.
But that wasn't Booker that Cruz was talking to.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was?
It was Cory Booker.
That's
Cory.
Wait a minute. That was Cory Booker? Yeah. Why did...
That was Cory Booker. That's not the other guy, Farticus, the other guy who farted on TV.
Swalwell.
The guy from California. Yeah, yeah. What's his name? Swalwell. Eric Swalwell, yeah. Fang Fangs, bub.
Why does that not look like Cory Booker? Well, I must have had a bad angle there.
You know what? He lost weight.
Oh, yes.
He has lost a ton of weight.
Oh. Also, what's the deal with
He's trying to find a new make-believe girlfriend that he can bring around to pretend that he has a girlfriend.
Well, he should reach out to he should reach out to Manti Te'o about that.
It was in 2018 when he stated, I am Spartacus moment. Yeah. This is his moment.
What's the deal with the wedding ring on the middle finger, by the way? I've noticed a lot of dudes doing that lately. What does that mean?
On the middle finger?
It's not
finger?
A wedding ring. He's not married.
Go back to Cory Booker. He's got the same black band that I have, but I have it on my ring finger right there. Oh, that is Cory Booker. Why does it?
He lost a ton of weight.
That is on the.
I've seen a lot of dudes doing this. If we have, if anybody in the YouTube chat knows what that stands for, I'd love to know.
It's weird.
Yeah. Oh well.
Wow.
Maybe he'll tell us about it.
By the way, you know a guy who needs to be dealt with by the Justice Department is Hakeem Jeffries. This man is a danger to this country. I mean, basically crying. And then that other guy, the Revlon dope in New York, the Goldman, Dan Goldman.
Yeah.
They're both now saying, why do federal agents wear masks? Mm-hmm. These are the same people that were having people arrested for not wearing masks during COVID.
Yep.
But now all of a sudden they're upset that federal agents who are trying to arrest criminals are wearing masks. Can you believe this is the Speaker of the House?
The party.
This is the House Minority Leader who could be Speaker of the House if the Democrats were in charge, and he wants to dox ICE agents. Tell me this isn't a dangerous zealot who needs to be dealt with severely.
Yeah.
The fact that this guy can go out there and dox federal agents and proudly boast that he wants to dox them.
I'm surprised we haven't had a swatting incident with these individuals like our boy Sean Farish had to deal with.
By the way, Patty C says the ring on the middle finger means you work for Air Canada.
No.
That's an explanation. Yes.
He did release the data. It's an aura. It was one of those aura rings.
Oh, yes.
That he put on his middle finger, which is a finger, which is a fitness tracker.
Okay.
And so he had actually released that information after his 25-hour.
So he tracks his vitals like that.
Yeah, that's actually better than the watch.
Is it?
The aura.
More accurate?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it tells you more too.
Oh.
So
I figured he told us all he had to tell us.
He told us he's a strapper who went out to California and did a Nazi salute. I know it wasn't a Nazi salute, but I'm just playing by the rules. If anybody puts their hand in the air, that's a Nazi salute. So that's the guy who went out to California to talk to people while Newark, his airport, is one of the worst in the world. But Cory Booker's out there in California trying to run for 2028 now. That's his attention.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. If you're watching right now, please hit the like button. Please hit the subscribe button. Do that right now. Get that subscriber count up. Get that view count up. Come on, let's go. Eric Swalwell. Tony Bruno brought up him. He was on with the Breakfast Club. Apparently, they can curse on the Breakfast Club. I don't know. Like, I thought that was a radio show.
Does the Breakfast Club ever not have a politics? They've turned into like the equivalent of Kimmel and Colbert at night.
Yeah,
bringing politicians on all the time.
They had Eric Swalwell on where he's cursing. And you're right, Tony.
And he's got a beard now, and he had a trucker cap on, so he wanted to be down with the brothers on this Breakfast Club.
You are 100% correct. He looks – yes, look at this. So he gets kind of uncomfortable when Charlemagne brings up the Fang Fang thing. We all remember the Chinese spy.
The Fang Fang Bang Bang.
Fang Fang, yeah, exactly. Roll this.
Did the Chinese spy scandal hurt your credibility, or did Republicans just weaponize like a nothing burger, so to speak?
You know, the fact that the FBI and the House Ethics Committee said it was I would hope that would be enough, but like in a disinformation society, like I recognize that it's everyone on the right's favorite meme. My wife tells me all the time, you know what? The second they're not going after you, you're not affected. And so I wear it as a badge of honor that these guys would want to lie about me all the time, because I think it means that I'm landing punches politically on them that sting. And frankly, I think a lot of Republicans look at me as like, oh, that's a straight, white, Christian male son of a cop. Like everyone else like him looks like me. So when he comes at me, it's more betrayal. Them
the obsession
like I've
with
heard
identity
that from them on their side that's that's why they take it so personally. So
I'm surprised he didn't
I'm
have
not
that
going
on
away
sideways
and they can say what they want and the death threats will come, but if they think I'm going to drop my lawsuit from January 6th against the president, or if I regret being an impeachment manager, or if I'm not going to like go out and work my ass off to help us win the midterms, like they're wrong. Like I'm not going away. I came from nothing. I was raised by a cop who did the right thing. Like to me, I'm playing with the house's money, so to speak.
No, and you
so
are. Yeah, yeah.
This is just a right or wrong mission for me.
You get a lot of put. Oh, God, so over the release. I give Charlemagne a little credit for asking the question, but then you don't get to couch it on the back end with well, was that or is that just a. Is that just disinformation from the Republicans? No, just
he's more cringe than Governor Shapiro now with all of the selfies and all of these posts where he's you know did you see that he had some staffer walk into his office and he was eating a taco as a shot at Trump.
This is
grade C porn. Late night porn is more compelling than watching these cringe videos from Josh Shapiro and Farticus there, that strapper, with a trucker hat on, now trying to be cool.
Yep.
What a moron.
He should have put the hat on sideways. You know what I mean? Like, you know, been down with the street, right?
I actually like the hat, to be honest. Good-looking hat.
By the way, Swalwell, in that exchange with Charlemagne, did not deny that he slept with that woman or really address the so-called Chinese spy,
of course,
Fang Fang, who disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Of course not.
Never denied, did not really answer the question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right,
His wife gave him the blessing, apparently, after he told her, hey, honey, I did sleep with a Chinese spy, but guess what? There's only 50,000 Chinese spies in the country now, and they're bringing in chemicals at the University of Michigan that could taint our food supply system. But no big deal. No big deal. Let's let more Chinese spies and kids into our campuses who are basically working for the CCP to help bring this country down with all kinds of crazy stuff. You saw the story, right, about the two chemical the packages of this fungus,
Dawn,
that can destroy our food supply?
Dawn debunked it.
I just asked a lot of questions about it.
Asking questions.
It's a fungus that has been in this country for decades.
But then why did they arrest? Chinese nationals.
That's my question.
University of Michigan.
Because you can't smuggle it in.
Yeah, you can't bring it in. You can't even
take a bottle of water on a flight anymore.
But they are scientists at the University of, or he is. They're under arrest. But you know, I'm sure that they're defense attorneys, probably paid for by us. But I'm sure the defense attorney is going to say, look, this is a student. He's been studying this. I have no doubt that's going to be the defense. And, hey, this has been in America for decades. So, but, you know, they're studying it. But you can't even bring a little thing of, like, if you go to Italy and you want to bring back, like, their poppies or basil or what, you can't bring fungi or plants or anything.
Let's talk about the Doge cuts here.
Doge cuts?
Russ Vault, is that his name? Russ?
Yeah, that's the guy I played
Vote.
The big take.
Yeah. Vote.
Vote.
Yeah. Get out and vote.
A reporter asked him why, can you explain why you're not sending all the Doge cuts up to Capitol Hill? Good question. Cut 15.
Can you explain why, to people who may say and not understand, why you're not sending all of the Doge cuts?
No, it's Caitlin.
Yeah, I've been of course it clear is. About it. I want to make sure that they pass.
And why do you send all of them and get all of them to pass?
Because I want to make sure that you take the first tranche and see if it passes. The wider you do in terms of a package, the harder it is to pass. And if it doesn't pass, this is the real world, and we will lose flexibility that we have to use executive tools to find other ways to make the Doge cuts permanent.
How many restrictions have you explained that directly to Elon Musk? I mean, have you made this case to Elon directly?
I'm explaining it to everyone.
How many restrictions packages do you expect?
We will send up more if the president is on board with that, as we see evidence of Congress passing them. This is the first step in it. I think it'll be on the floor next week, according to what the speaker told me yesterday, and then from there we'll see where we are in the Senate. But again, we want to see it pass. I think it will pass, and then we'll go from there.
So, Tony, I want to get your thoughts on this in a moment, but I'll just we talked about it earlier. It was my big take. I'll give you a little different little nugget here, which is kind of interesting. Nate Silver, with his polling data, this is very odd. Doge is considered popular as a entity. Yet Elon Musk, his net favorability rating in the latest morning consult poll is a negative 11, which I find interesting because he is the face and the voice of Doge, yet he is viewed way lower by the American public than the idea of Doge in general is. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, but now that Musk realizes that no matter what he did and what Doge did, the Congress is still gutless, Republicans and Democrats alike, that he sees that what he did didn't work because he knows you can't fight the law because the law wins. And the law is the crumb bums in Capitol Hill who have to vote on stuff but have so much personal pork invested in it that they will never approve cuts. And so Elon Musk now will become a hero again because now all of a sudden he's criticizing Trump. So all these morons who were torching cars and Tesla places are going to become Elon Musk fans again. Watch. It's going to, it's like wrestling. You know, the guy's the hero, then he becomes the GOAT, yeah. then he becomes the bad guy, then yeah. he comes back again at WrestleMania 65, and then he's the GOAT again. Then he tag teams up with another
yep.
bad guy,
yep.
and then they love him, and then Nick will go and watch it and get the pay-per-view for $75.95 on a Saturday night.
You're damn right, by the way, Tony. Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank is coming up this Saturday on Peacock. Subscribe now.
Money in the Bank.
The only person that's been a heel from day one and still is 20 years later, Greg Stocker.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Love being a heel. I mean Hollywood Hogan of 1210 WPHT. Speaking of the Doge cuts, Senator Rand Paul was on with Will Kane yesterday discussing the $9 billion in Doge cuts. This is cut 18, Phil.
Here today, first, I'd love to just get your response to the president.
Well, I'm guessing that when I voted no on both impeachments, that the president wasn't happy with me loving to vote no. I'm guessing when I voted yes for most every member of his cabinet except for one, he probably wasn't unhappy with that either. What I would say is we have a disagreement, and we can still be friends, and I've told him this too. We can still be friends and have a disagreement. But to put things in perspective, the bill increases spending for the military and for border over $300 billion. The Doge cuts, which aren't in this bill, were about $200 billion. So this bill actually increases in the first couple of years spending more than all the Doge cuts combined. Now we're going to do $9 billion. That's, you know, very small. It's a rounding error. I'm for it. I think Elon's done a great job. $9 billion is a pittance, but I'm for it. I absolutely am for cutting the $9 billion. But I fear, I fear we might not have the votes to cut the $9 billion. If we don't, I suggest people grab their pitchforks, figuratively, and march on Washington. If Republicans cannot cut $9 billion, we've got a problem with Republicans.
He's right. I mean, the reality is if you can't wipe out $9.4 billion in bloated, wasteful spending to ridiculous concepts in third world countries, then we have a serious, we have a worse issue than I thought. But my only problem with Rand Paul is, and I like Rand Paul on a handful of issues, Tone, he always complains about spending, which I'm on board with, but then give me a better solution. I have no problem if you shoot down an idea, but what's your idea? And he never has one.
That's yeah, and me. Again, his dad obviously was the king of, you know, the libertarians and telling people that the government is bad. And the government is bad,
yes.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
And the fact, but they're all in the same boat. I mean, Rand Paul, you know, remember this guy got assaulted when he was walking down the streets in Washington a couple of years ago. So people hate Rand Paul. I think he means well, but he doesn't want to be the guy that has to cut all of the spending because all of these people have something to gain from where they're, you look at the pork in this stuff. The pork in all of these bills is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to cut it because they have a deal with somebody in their state that's going to produce a couple of jobs. And then they have to answer to their constituents. And when their constituents say, hey, I'm not going to donate to you if you don't put this part of the thing in the bill where my company gets this money or my research foundation gets this, then I'm not voting for it. It's all about paying these people whatever they need to keep voting for whatever these special interest groups want.
Well, and this is what Dawn's been saying for the entire time I've been on this show. We're all getting played because at the end of the day, whether you're Elon Musk, the wealthiest person on the planet, you're a gazillionaire like Trump, super wealthy, or any of these people in Congress like Nancy Pelosi, who have net worths of $93 million, they just keep kicking the can down the road, ringing up the debt. And you know what? When their time's over, whether they serve 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, or 25 years, they're not responsible for it, right? Like, we not only do we pay their salaries, but then they take our money and then they distribute it to ridiculous causes. And then who gets stuck with the bill at the end of the day? All of us. Inflation goes up, interest rates go up, and, you know, all of us out there just grinding, living paycheck to paycheck, we're the ones that have to deal with it. What a gig that is.
Exactly.
Professional criminals.
It is. That's why everybody, that's why all these people want to become politicians, to make $175,000 a year and then become a multi-millionaire, you know, within two terms.
Yep.
That happens to all these people because they have the inside track. And the whole thing about, you know, the limit, term limits, there's never, they're not going to vote on term limits for themselves.
No, they're not going to cut off their own gravy train. Yeah.
Look at Larry Krasner's in Croatia on his bike after winning an election by 12 votes a couple of weeks ago. You know, they don't care. Did you see Larry Krasner? At least Larry Krasner leaves the country. Former mayor Jim Kenney, he just goes to Florida and Maryland when he wants to get away from the city. Has anyone seen Jim Kenney, by the way, in the last couple of years?
But now that I know that Larry Krasner has a bike, I'm officially extending the invite.
Oh.
Larry Krasner, how about you join Team 1210 and ride with me down to Atlantic City? We'll talk the whole way. We'll just be on our bikes with
Come
our
on,
helmets.
Come on, Nick. Even Larry
we'll
Krasner
chatting.
Knows it's not safe to ride a bike in Philadelphia. That's why he went to Croatia.
Yeah.
He's riding a bike with a bunch of people on a beach.
Yeah. Come on, Larry. Let's back the blue here, Larry.
Yes, Don.
Two news updates for you. So just to put this in perspective, as far as codifying DOGE, that was officially and formally requested by the White House to Congress. So that happened yesterday, and that's the $1.1 billion in cuts, for example, for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So yep. If that goes through NPR, PBS. So that's the first thing, the so-called rescissions package.
Oh, that would be a great start.
$9.4 billion in spending. So that's one thing. On the other side, the Trump administration, and this has not been widely reported as far as how much in investments they've either secured new investments or that they've been promised, I say in air quotes, like the Saudi stuff. So that's $10 trillion. So that $10 trillion is what the Trump team, right, and Scott Bessent and all of them, are claiming, look at over here, $10 trillion in new money.
All right.
Now, there are many taking some issue with that, saying some of it's existing, but I just want to give you those two points.
Well, then, if we are $1.8 trillion in debt and we have $10 trillion coming to us, let's take $2 trillion, wipe out the debt, start over from scratch, and then take that other $8 trillion and do whatever we need to do with it. I know it's easier said than done, but, you know, for the sake of morning radio, there you go.
One more from Senator Rand Paul. He says that if they separate out the debt ceiling, he could vote for the bill. Roll 19, Phil.
I want to get you to address the two things we just heard from OMB Director Russ Vogt and one made by the president. First of all, they argue the big, beautiful bill puts in place growth measures that you're not accounting for. I've been around this game for a while. You have as well. I do know that growth is something that every administration counts on to offset their spending. But do you not think the president has a point with deregulation and tax cuts that we could see real growth that actually helps not jack up the deficit as is accounted for?
I actually do, and this is where I think the president and I are talking past each other. I accept the growth arguments. I actually accept that cutting taxes can grow revenue. I believe it happened under Reagan. I believe it happened under the first Trump term, and I supported the tax cuts in the first term. I still support them. I support making them permanent, and I do believe they will bring in more revenue than the CBO projects. My objection to the bill isn't about the tax cuts, and it isn't about those calculations. My objection to the bill is they're going to raise the debt ceiling more than they ever have, $5 trillion, and that this will be the largest increase in the debt ceiling ever. And if the Republicans all vote for it, the Republicans will own the debt. They will lose their high moral ground. We will no longer be the party that can say, look at the Democrats. They're the ones, you know, foisting the debt on our country. We're drowning in a sea of debt caused by Democrats, which has largely been true. But I think now if they vote for this, so if they separate out the debt ceiling, I could be for the bill.
You know, one thing I will say that maybe the Republicans will have in their favor is most common people out there that don't live this like we do, they're not paying attention to this. They'll have no idea about it in 2026 or 2028. From an economic standpoint, all they're going to look at is their energy bills, the cost of groceries, housing market, things like that. And as long as those are continually improving under Trump, Republicans will be fine because most people, I mean, if Marjorie Taylor Greene hasn't read this, well, then Bob in New Hope hasn't read it.
I just...
Nobody reads these bills.
Of course not. Nobody does. None of them do.
over 1,100, like Greg said earlier. It's 1,100 plus pages.
Right.
I'll just say this. So he's saying, you know, so in other words, this is like me arguing with my husband over, you know, what we want to spend on things like, you know, home improvement or whatever. And so I'll say, no, I need this. No. And we go back and forth. And what the Trump team is saying is we're going to bring in an extra $10 trillion. It's going to offset this. Interest rates are going to go down. Drill, baby, drill. All of that matters. Energy costs go down, blah, blah, blah. What I don't understand is that they never have a conversation. And, Nick, you brought up this point earlier this morning. Why don't they say, hey, let's think outside the box? In other words, if we can't afford the steel and the concrete and the expense of building the most difficult parts of the border wall, for example, this is just one example, because the easiest parts of the wall have been built. The toughest terrain areas, that's what they face, right? So why don't you think outside the box? Why don't you think about the Agra, the company that helped with I-95 in the collapse, that's the Delco company. There are all these new building materials. Or think outside the box. I'm just saying to say, well, how can we stay within our budget but find different ways to achieve the goal?
Yep.
They never seem to do that.
They never do.
Don, speaking of home improvement, can you talk to us about Marvin E. Cans and what they did to your house?
Yeah, actually, they're coming out today. Nice. So I got my guys, Marvin E. Cans, and they're trustworthy, and that's what I love about them. By the way, you should see my Pico bills, how much my bills, we've lived in this house, we're married 25 years next week. Our Pico bill that we got, the recent one, it was like $170. It's the cheapest that we've ever experienced in living in this house.
All because
I'm crediting Marvin E. Cans.
The upgrades, wow. Good job.
Because they went through and didn't, you know, some systems had to get replaced. Some they really just tinkered with, you will, to fix. And so I can't say enough good things about Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. We have that Mitsubishi electric heating and air conditioning unit, the mini split that I've talked about. That's a game changer in our lower level, which had that poor ventilation and we lacked the proper ductwork. So I'm recommending this because we got it. But it's the ductless unit from Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Air Conditioning. It's wonderful down in that lower level where Larry and I share the studio, right? So just consider the mini split. You can ask about it for those hard to reach areas. Marvin E. Cans, Marvin E. KANZE.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The cut sheet rolls on. Tony Bruno in box 4 live from Florida.
I don't know if you guys saw the
Quattro
other
box. We love the Quattro box. Not the Octo box. That's not coming until September on Red Zone Channel.
By the way, how's the home coming, Tony Bruno?
Today, supposedly now, the air conditioning will be installed today. The power goes on. We have power in the house, but the rest of the circuits and everything else, the water is going to happen today. So today's a big day.
Big day.
Pray. And now we're in the rainy season, of course.
Yeah.
So, but luckily, the house is dried in. We got to get this house done. August 1st, Nick. That's the day that I'm hoping to be in the new house.
Nice. August 1st.
You're getting in yours?
August 15th, sir.
Wow.
But by the way, I'm glad that you're getting the air conditioning, you know, situated just in time for hurricane season. I mean, I know Trump's FEMA director didn't know there was a hurricane season, but at least Tony Bruno does.
I'm glad. Thank you, Nick. That's exactly where I was going. Because they were asked about this yesterday. Caroline Levitt said the FEMA chief was just joking.
Yeah, I've got to. I mean, just play. All right, just play.
Roll this.
Good afternoon. We're in hurricane season, and there is great concern every year about the potential for that. Can you speak to how the president is planning to have the level of support, should it be needed, to be as it has been with a reduction in the workforce? And is he still comfortable with Administrator Richardson, who had talked, whether joking or not, about not being aware of a hurricane season for this country? What is the president's level of briefings on what may be required? If you could give us kind of an overall update on that.
Sure. Well, of course, we know that we are into hurricane season now, and I know FEMA is taking this seriously, contrary to some of the reporting we have seen based on jokes that were made and leaks from meetings. But Secretary Kristi Noem and the FEMA leadership are all over this. They are committed to ensuring that federal resources and tax dollars are there for Americans in need. And the president continues to review requests for emergency aid and carefully considering them. However, this president has made it clear we're not going to enable states to make bad decisions with federal tax dollars and then have the federal government later have to bail these states out. We want to see states be responsible with their tax dollars to do as much as they possibly can, and then the president will deeply and thoughtfully consider any requests for federal aid that come to his desk. And I think some of the media reporting we've seen on this is frankly sloppy and irresponsible. There are serious people who are taking this issue seriously, starting with the president himself, who, as you know, on his first domestic trip back in office, visited both North Carolina and California, both of which were, of course, hit by natural disasters when he wasn't even president, but he took ownership of that and visited those places and those people immediately.
Is it Brian? About hurricane season appropriate, though, now that we're this is serious business, as you talked about?
It's serious business, Kelly, and I'm not going to engage in such fodder with a question like that.
It is. The only explanation is that this was a joke that this FEMA director made, and the media, which always goes with the wrong slant and narrative, just like the Washington Post having to be corrected for their faulty reporting on fentanyl. But then again, Bobby Kennedy didn't know the difference between Medicare and Medicaid. Then again, Kristi Noem is holding a handgun at a ICE agent's head. Because she's never held a gun before, apparently.
It's a machine gun.
A machine gun, a handgun, a rifle, whatever you want to call it. I would like to think that was a joke. At this point, I just no longer know.
Well, these are, so David Richardson, who heads FEMA, is clearly there are some maybe never Trumpers or whatever. So he made a sarcastic comment about really hurricane season.
Has to be it,
there was,
right?
From what they're quoting.
Everybody knows it's hurricane season, June 1st.
So he made a statement at their meeting, and the headline is, FEMA staff baffled by the heads, he's unaware of U.S. hurricane season.
Right.
So I think the truth is he's got to reel in his staff. They couldn't wait for him to say anything sarcastic so they could quote it to Reuters and all the so-called mainstream media, and they could say, well, this idiot doesn't even know when hurricane,
apparently he is a outsider from outside of the world of natural disaster, so another guy that, maybe doesn't have a history in this field, so to speak. But, and I'm assuming it has to be a tongue-in-cheek, snarky comment, because that would be like me saying, holiday book? What's a holiday book? There's a holiday ratings period? I never knew that. I've been in radio for 20 years. The hell you say? But then again, can we really rule it out? Can we? The Secret Service, they can't even pull their gun out of their holsters. Yeah. We've got idiots everywhere.
You're not wrong.
The next pandemic only kills stupid people. I'm going to go to China, I'm going to do gain-of-function research, and we're going to work on ways to kill stupid people.
No,
because there's too many dummies walking around Earth.
We don't need to kill any.
And I'm not talking about people with disabilities. I'm talking about functional humans that are just stupid. They all have to go.
God.
We're not advocating killing anybody. You're saying
figuratively.
No, exactly.
As Tony Bruno said, I stand by what I said.
Oh, boy.
God, these people. Hey, these people we pay their salaries, and then they take 30% more. The whole Ponzi scheme. Scam. Tony, we used to work with a lady back in the day at a different lifetime. She always would say, it's a scam. It is a scam.
It's a scam.
Big scam.
It's all a scam.
The greatest thing Dawn ever said is, we're all getting played. I'm going to have that on my tombstone.
We were
all played. For all 61 years that Nick lived here, he was played. 1984 to 2045. I think that's 61 years. Somebody will check my math.
Are you going to be with those stupid people that you want out of the country?
No, the stupid pandemic will be here in about 10 years, and then I'll drop dead of a heart attack 10 years after that.
Well, they're trying to crank up the pandemic in California already, That's what they're saying out there now.
Oh, yeah.
Gavin Newsom Gavin Newsom, who's still the dumbest man and the most corrupt governor in the entire country, which is hard to say because there's so many good options, you know, right across the river there in New Jersey, Phil Murphy, worried about shutting down people's farms, but now coming up with another stupid thing that no one understands. I mean, why is Phil Murphy running for re-election, or is he done?
No, he's done. He's termed out.
He's term limited.
That's what I thought.
He's out. New Jersey.
Thank God they have.
Then why is he still up there spouting all this nonsense about these different things he's planning to do?
He's trying to mitigate his bad image.
Yep.
Thank God governors only get 8 years. Can you imagine if governors didn't have term limits?
No.
By the way, this is cut 10, Phil. The Trump administration and congressional Republicans are increasingly turning to work requirements as part of a wide-ranging effort to slash spending on welfare benefits, extending GOP's messaging around the waste and fraud to argue that many people who get federal aid don't deserve it. In late May, the House passed a sweeping tax and budget bill that would impose new work requirements as part of a plan to cut Medicaid. And work requirements for, you know, these government subsidies, I think, is a no-brainer. But of course, the Democrats are like, oh, the humanity. Oh, the humanity. How dare you? Our friends at Gravian put together a little montage of the Democrats going back to 1996. And how they actually love.
You have enough time to play this?
They actually love the work requirements for the federal assistance. Roll this.
Nearly 30 years ago, Robert Kennedy said,
uh-oh,
work is the meaning of what this country is all about.
Uh-oh.
We need it as individuals. We need to sense it in our fellow citizens. And we need it as a society and as a people.
Thank you, Bill Clinton, in 1996.
It was right then, and it's right now.
Wow.
I did
From
not.
From now on, our nation's answer to this great social challenge will no longer be a never-ending cycle of welfare.
What was going on
the dignity,
under
the
that podium during this speech?
Today we are taking an historic chance to make welfare what it was meant to be.
Uh-oh.
A second chance, not a way of life. This bill will help people to go to work so they can stop drawing a welfare check and start drawing a paycheck. It is now clearly better to go to work than to stay on welfare.
Mm. Wow.
Clearly better because of actions taken.
Impeach that. Impeach. Can we impeach Bill Clinton now?
He is racist.
In the terrible, almost physical isolation of huge numbers of poor people and their children from the rest of mainstream America. We have to do that.
Yeah.
Today we are ending welfare as we know it. But I hope this day will be remembered not for what it ended, but for what it began.
Yes.
A new day that offers hope, honors responsibility, rewards work, and changes the terms of the debate.
For too many.
Who's that? Oh, my God.
Way of life.
Climate change.
For too long.
He invented the internet.
It has condemned too many on welfare to a lifetime at the margins of our society. Today, we start to change all that.
Anyone who wants to receive welfare must sign an individual responsibility contract so that they're forced to agree up front to the conditions placed on receiving the benefit. And so that they will have a plan from day one on how to get themselves off of welfare. Put them to work and make them want to go to work and make it reasonable for them to go to work. It'd be a mandatory work requirement for anyone receiving welfare.
They actually have charged and run ads saying that President Obama wants to weaken the work requirements in the welfare reform bill I signed that moved millions of people from welfare to work.
2012.
Oh, wait. The requirement was for more work, not less.
Oh, Bill Clinton.
Oh, Bill,
I'm telling
how dare
you, the claim that President Obama weakened welfare reform's work requirement is just not true.
The best anti-poverty program is a job.
Obama 2015.
Which confers not just income, but structure and dignity and a sense of connection to community.
Thank you, Gravian.
So, as I've been saying for many years, Donald Trump is part Ronald Reagan, American exceptionalism, with a blend of 1996 to 2015 Democrat.
Wow. That's
what he is, right?
And
now all of a sudden the media is like, this guy's such a radical. He's a threat.
And let us not forget, Bill Clinton, you know, one of his successes that they hail and he hails is surpluses, budget surpluses, 1998 to 2001.
Yep.
But remember, he did, first of all, He had Newt Gingrich the first 100 days, so Republican checks and balances, but as well, he did raise taxes, much to the objection of Republicans at that time, but Democrats did raise taxes to help with those budget surpluses.
So that is courtesy of Grabian, correct?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to need access to Grabian when I move up to the in-laws for 6 weeks till we move into our house. So I'll be, for those that don't know.
I thought it was Grabian. No, shouldn't it be Grabian, or is that too touchy-feely?
Yeah, too
hands off.
That leads to lawsuits, Tone. That's an HR issue. So we'll be leaving our temporary house June 30th, moving into the permanent house August 15th. But for 6 weeks, I have to live with the in-laws. Yes, that's true, for 6 weeks. So I'm going to pull up Grabian, and I'm going to play that for my mother-in-law on the deck one night. And I'm going to say, did you have a problem with that 30 years ago? Because it's just being rebooted now.
He just needs...
And you want to yank your hair out.
Yeah. People are protesting Target right now because they stopped with the transgender. What are they doing? They had the onesies that were like,
yeah. This was one of the Al Sharpton targeted boycotts.
They actually walked through Target protesting
because Target squashed the whole DEI thing.
Yes.
Okay.
27. This is 27, Phil. If you have it there. 27.
Uh oh, it's frozen. All I see is gravy.
Do we have not 27?
Do we have a 27?
All right, maybe we
27 go once.
All right, never mind. All that set up for. Do you have 26? Do you have 26?
How about 28?
The story is that Target lost $9 billion in a week two years ago to the day, pretty much, because Pride Month was upcoming and people just didn't want to.
Yeah, we talked about it, remember?
Yeah.
June of 2023 was a huge talking point for Pride Month. Remember, it was Target with the onesies. What other store were we talking about that had to deal with this? It wasn't Walmart.
No, it wasn't Walmart. Mainly Target was in the headlines. Yeah. I'll look it up. I was mainly just trying to vamp to give him time to focus.
No, it's
talk amongst yourselves.
It's my fault. I didn't send it to him. So, there are just a bunch of people protesting in Target.
Do you think we'll ever have a stretch in this day and age where we can go a day, a week, a month without somebody protesting something? I mean, I wasn't old. I mean, Tony, you guys, Dawn, I was not around. What decade was like the super? Was it 70s or 60s? What decade was known for a ton of protests? I want to say it was.
Oh, back in the 60s, the Vietnam era.
There are these things called history books. Yeah. Like, I wasn't around for World War I or II.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
Proof that
I was around, so it doesn't matter.
Proof that what you learn in school, you forget by the moment you walk out with a diploma. But do you think we're at the point now where, from a statistical standpoint, we're seeing more protests? If you were to add up all the protests, whether the ridiculous ones, the verifiable, justifiable protests, compared to like how long did the Vietnam protests last for? I understand that you're right to protest. I get it. I'm just exhausted of the mindset of everybody is offended by something, so I have to protest. Like, I get it. It's totally your right. But this goes, I think, to what the study I was going to get to about how people are just mentally unhappy. Liberals are so unhappy with everything that all they do is protest. That's their whole bit.
The most interesting thing to me is Minnesota, of course, they had conducted these raids, Massachusetts, all these raids. And suddenly, out of nowhere, people show up with masks, not the agents doing their job.
Yeah.
Protesters, they show up everywhere on command. Remember, back in the Vietnam era, we didn't have cell phones. We had pay phones. So the fact that that was organic, the Vietnam protest back in the 60s was organic. These protests are planned. How do they know where ICE is going? Somebody is tipping them off.
Yep.
And yet in Minneapolis, people knowing that there's going to be an ICE raid. In Massachusetts, Tom Holman saying, these people show up instantly.
Yeah.
How is it that people, that's why we should have work requirements for people who are lying about their inability to work. And that's why Bill Clinton was right.
Yeah.
That's why all politicians of a nation where people are just waiting to get sit on their asses and get money for nothing and their chicks for free, which I still do. Actually, chicks are never for free.
Never. No.
That was a lie.
And it was.
And that MTV song was a lie. You don't get your money for nothing and your chicks for free.
I know.
Chicks always cost you. Sometimes they ruin you.
Yes.
That's your tip for the day.
That's right. That's why you always. It's why you hire an attorney when you go to divorce court. Tony, let me throw this up here. Silver Bulletin. This is from Nate Silver. Higher self-reported mental health correlates with conservative political views. This is a study done by all three different kind of spectrums of politics: liberals, moderates, and conservatives. Look at the chart here if you're on YouTube. Those that self-reported excellent mental health: liberals only 20%, conservatives 51%. There's very good, good, fair, and poor. Poor mental health, self-reported, liberal, 45%, conservative, 19%. The further you slide right on the political spectrum, the more healthy and happier you are. That is amazing.
Exactly.
That explains everything of the last 5 years. Not just a talking point.
Well, all you have to do is look at the faces of these people out there protesting. They all look the same.
Yeah, they do.
And they're all old. They're all old women now. All of these old women who were alive in the Vietnam era, like I are now, they're getting rid of people who are criminals in this country. I mean, how did this change happen?
Yeah.
How did these people become so anti-America, so pro-criminals, hate cops? It's because people like Hakeem Jeffries and all of these other people who should be in jail. Hakeem Jeffries should be arrested for treason. For him, Goldman in New York, for them to suggest that federal agents wearing masks should be doxxed.
Yeah.
That's treason.
Yep.
These are elected officials who should be in jail. They should be in jail this morning. Their home should be raided.
855-839-1210. Let's wrap up the hour. We've got Karen with us. Karen, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hi, guys. I called you a few weeks ago about my daughter who had that enormous student loan debt, and she's paying it back. She joined the military and everything.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I want to tell you an additional story about my daughter. So she's in the Navy, and she was accepted into this cybersecurity program, and it is the most challenging academic program in the military, and she was accepted into the program. So she shows up on her first day of class. You're not going to believe this. And there were 20 people in her class, 19 guys and one female, and she was the only female. And one of those guys turned to her and said, "Oh, you must be the DEI requirement."
Ooh.
So she said,
wow. Did she clap so back? What little, did she say?
She's this little tiny blonde Barbie looking girl, whatever. And she said,
I like her already.
Watch me.
Wow.
She said,
yeah.
Watch me.
Well, cybersecurity, so, that's, I would imagine that's a high demand field when she gets out of school, right?
It is. You have to be accepted into it. You don't just, like, put people in because they're trying to fill a DEI requirement. So she was so furious, and I can't even tell you how I felt about it.
Yeah.
So 6 months later, graduation comes. There are 8 people left in the class, 7 guys and 1 female, and that was my daughter.
Nice.
So I went down.
Yeah.
I went down to Pensacola for her graduation.
Awesome.
I said, "Is that guy here?" And she said, "No, he didn't make it." And you know what? I bet he did, but she's probably thinking I would go like all mama bear on this guy and told me he wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I just gave all the guys a dirty
that's
look.
That's great. Well, and that's the other thing,
anyway,
too, with the with the absurdity of the DEI stuff. Because then you end up with somebody, whether it's a female, an Asian guy, a Hispanic lady, somebody that's black. And it's like the assumption just becomes that they're a DEI acceptance or an admission or a hire or a promotion, when maybe they've actually met all the requirements and are deserving of it. And Democrats, they never want to think next level on that.
Yeah, congratulations, Karen.
Yep.
But that's just it.
That's awesome.
That's why I always say this, and I think we always say this, that it's an insult. That's why it's an insult, because you never want anybody in your workplace, in your place of school, whatever, to think that you've done anything other than work just as hard as them.
Right.
It's actually questioning your integrity to have these dopey programs.
Right. And then people start speculating whether or not you deserve to be there and you earned your way there. Or if you're just a checked box. 855-839-1210. Tony Bruno continues with us. The final hour on the way. We'll get a big three. And then our veteran spotlight is coming up at 9:30 and at 9:10. Just 11 minutes from now, Fight Club.
Hey, level up the fun this summer. And a new Civic Hybrid sedan or hatchback from my friends at Piazza Honda. The Civic Hybrid has received the honor of being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. With an impressive 50 city miles or 47 highway MPG rating, the sporty Civic sedan now coming with the efficiency and the excitement of hybrid performance. Visit Piazza Honda of Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield today. You can always browse more than 200 hybrid vehicles online. PiazzaHonda.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaHonda.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.